Scott Hall Show. I am here with Mrs. Erica Walker Flynn, and we are the host of the Raymond Hall Show. We are the show where we have a different conversation. The conversation is all about service. And no matter what you do in this world and no matter what you don't do, it all begins or does not begin with service, because every opportunity you have is because of the service of others that has been placed there. Today's show is all about we the people. That seems to get lost sometimes in the thing. It seems like people want to make you think that everything else comes before we the people. So today's show is about we the people.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Erica Flynn Walker. I'm the co-host of the Raymond Hall Show, where you can follow us at Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And also, we have a podcast at theraymondhallshow.com. I'd like to start off today by telling you a short story, which is something a little bit personal to me. I'm going to make it very brief. It's about my grandmother. And a few years ago, 4 years ago, this January, she passed away. And I had the honorable opportunity at that time to speak at her homegoing service. And at that time, I had a lot of different thoughts and feelings going through my head, and it all came back down to my grandmother and her door, the door of her home where she had lived for 78, she was there for many, many years in that same home, which I grew up in. And at my grandmother's home, she had a door that we all saw. And my mom, my uncles, my family members, myself, we all had a different perception of her door. We all saw her door differently. I had a different view of her door. My mom had a different view of her door. But it was my grandmother's door that led me to see and do further investigation on we the people. We the people all have a different perception
of the door.
Of the door.
Mm-hmm. Now, the door that you, and first of all, I commend your entire family, because you're the fruit of that family. But the door you're speaking about is the front door
to her
house.
Is the front door of her my grandmother's house.
Okay.
From a view of the front door, you know,
it
looks the same. Uh-huh. But each individual person that goes through that door has a different perspective.
Wow.
Of the door, what went on inside the door, how they felt about the door. Mm-hmm. So that led me up to the door on Pennsylvania Avenue, which is the White House. That door, the big White House that we know that the President of the United States lives in, which is a very remarkable door. There's many tremendous things that go on in that door, but it was basically like the same thing as my grandmother's door. We all have a perception of what we think should happen in that door, beyond that door, how we feel about that door. So that led me to do some research. And what we came up with was we the people today, and we decided to read the preamble to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The preamble to the Constitution starts off as, it reads, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity, do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America." So this same door, this White House door, the door that's on Pennsylvania Avenue that we all know as the White House, it is directly in concert with this Constitution, of which we all live by on a daily basis. And it just all tied in to me, to make it very personal about my grandmother, her door, how I feel about her door. And so Mr. Hall and I decided that we were going to have a show dedicated to the Constitution, the all of the things that are surrounded, that are surrounded to the Constitution, and you and I and all of the doors that we have in our lives. And we want to have a conversation about that.
Yeah. You know, when Mrs. Walker shared that with me, I was personally moved. And that's where service begins. when service becomes personal, that's when you find the strength and you find the energy to do what needs to be done. The preamble to the Constitution was written at the last day of that Constitution convention.
Okay.
And when the Constitution was written, when Mrs. Walker was talking to me and sharing with me about her grandmother's house, it reminded me of the Constitution, because when the Constitution was written, it was not written for the person of African descent. We were not called African Americans when the Constitution was written. We were persons coming to America of African descent. And when you were talking, what came to me mm-hmm. was the fact that service had them to write the Constitution. And I'm thinking of your grandmother's house, and I'm thinking of this door. Mm-hmm. So here they are saying, we're tired of the tyranny that's coming out of Europe. We're tired of the king and queen. So when we're on this liberty ship and we're coming over because we want to throw off the tyranny that's on our backs.
Okay.
And the Constitution clearly says that we the people.
It starts with we the people.
But it was them looking at the door from their perspective.
Yes.
Now here comes service, because service turned around years later from different perspectives mm-hmm. and say, well, we the people include me.
That's where we were all included in the we the people.
Okay. So whether it came through the abolitionists, or whether it came through the people who said that for one human being to own another human being is wrong, whether it came through economic positions. Mm-hmm. At one time, it was a marriage. The South grew, the industry. Cotton was king.
Right, it was.
So they grew. What's the most expensive thing almost still today is labor.
Yes, it is.
So with the slave, you had almost free labor. Mm-hmm. So you had this marriage. The South grew it, and the North shipped it. And when the South said, well, you know, we'll grow it and ship it. Some people said, no, you won't. Okay, and to show you what you want, we'll interrupt that free labor and free your slaves. So here are people standing at the door of the Constitution, yes, and looking in, they're seeing a different perspective.
Right. Each person has a different perspective of the one door, which is...
Of the one door.
Of the White House.
Of we the people.
Of we the people.
Okay, and what it affords. It affords a more perfect union. It didn't say that the union is absolutely perfect. It says a more perfect union. So it meant that it's going to afford us a more perfect union. And that's where the service of you and I are required, because we are required to give service to build on that more perfect union.
Right.
Okay. And so I was just really moved when you shared the story of your grandmother's door,
right,
and how it led you to the Constitution of the United States.
Right, because it was based on how I saw the door and the things that I felt that should be going on this door, or how, you know, my perspective or my, you know, my thoughts on it. So it led me to understand that everyone has a different perception of this same door. Mm. And so it may not be something that you agree with. You may not understand it, but, you know, how could so many people see the same door differently?
Mm. Okay. So, well, our show today is about we the people.
We the people.
Okay. And we're going to be talking about those
things where we, the people, have strength. Our guest last week was from Healthy African American Families, too, Miss
Milan Murphy.
Milan Murphy. Mm-hmm. And she talked about SOS, Save Ourselves, and she talked about a lot of things. But a lot of it, if when we go back and look at all of the shows we've had, everything has been about service because that's what we're about. And it starts with service. So everybody doing their part from service is what really makes a difference.
Right. So if your perception is this is the door of the Constitution where their service called for a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide a common justice, promote general welfare and secure blessings, which is what we all felt when we went to our grandmother's house. We were blessed. Mm. We were secure. It was always a meal there. We knew that that was the door of tranquility, which is some of the same things that are here in the Constitution, which we all should be afforded as a United States citizen. Do you agree?
I completely agree. And that's the whole point. The point is that everyone should feel safe.
Yes, we should. That's the
through
point.
What is afforded through the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Everyone should feel the blessing of liberty.
It states it right there.
Through as what's afforded through the Constitution. Now, in addition to that, it specifically says liberty to ourselves and to those that come after us.
Right. So that's the generations to come.
That's the generations to come. So here we are. Yesterday, we, for the last couple of weeks, we have been faced with a uprising of people hollering about America.
Yes.
Okay. And have the audacity to include her name
right.
in their foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And what they may or may not have done was taken a look at the preamble or the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States,
right.
where it starts with we the people.
We keep going back to we the people. That was the first thing
right.
that it said, we the people, not the president, not the Congress, not the Senate. Those people are all involved, but it basically starts with we the people of the United States in order to form a perfect union. We know it's not going to be perfect, but we just all need to get along.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does we the people say that the Klan is the only people?
No, it does not say they are the only people. However,
but they are included.
They are included
in the people.
And they have their perception on the door
as well.
As well, that they
but
do.
Their perception does not change the factual statements of the Constitution.
No, they do not.
Okay, so the Constitution does not say, okay, we the people is only including a certain group of people.
Right.
It says we the people.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you go on into the First Amendment, it says what the other branches are supposed to be doing.
Right.
They're supposed to be serving we the people. Am I right? Is
exactly.
that what the
that's
First
what
Amendment
there, That's what they're there
okay.
to do.
Okay. Now, you
take Ooh. It easy now. Take
okay.
it easy. Take it easy.
The minute you say Second Amendment, everybody sits up. Girls sit up on the bed. They talking about the Second Amendment. Get your gun. Okay? I ain't mad at you. Okay, because I'm on the, now. This is just from my door.
You're right. Okay.
On the Second Amendment.
Okay.
We need a strong defense. That's what the preamble talks about.
Yes, it does.
And it does. The Second Amendment does give you the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I didn't find nowhere in the Second Amendment where it says you got the right to shoot people. Said you had the right to bear arms.
Right.
I didn't find it says you had the right to shoot people. Now, the one thing about a gun is this. You got a hammer. You can either drive a nail or pull a nail. You got a screwdriver, you can either screw it, a screw in or screw something out. A gun does one thing, shoot. Okay? Oh, we're talking about the First Amendment, huh? So we're still talking about the Constitution.
Yes, we are.
Okay. My point simply is this. There are going to be things in the Constitution that may be a challenge for me.
and it may be a challenge for you. But Mrs. Walker shared something with me earlier that someone in the family said that we all must abide by the law.
We all must abide by the law. That at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to.
Okay.
The law.
So what we have is we have a guiding document.
Yes.
It's been called the supreme law of the land. Mm-hmm. We have a guiding document that says this is what we, the people, will go by. Mm-hmm. And if there is something that we can do to have a more perfect union, then we are called to do that. That's why we have service.
Right. That's what we're called to come together at the table to try to have a agree to disagree sometimes. We already understand that we're not going to agree on every single solitary thing that, you know, this person says. However, we have a fiduciary right as United States citizens to at least come to the table together to have the discussion.
Okay. Consider what your perception is from the door of the Constitution. It's vitally important. If the nation can maintain its service strength without the service of you, have a collective with your opinion who say that I will give no service. Will the service strength of the nation be weakened? Or is it strengthened by people with no service? Today's conversation is all about we the people, so we're going to be hearing from we the people, and we're going to be talking to people, and they're going to be giving us their different service strengths. Individual perceptions of the door of the Constitution depends on what filters the person uses to see. So if I'm using a clouded filter of hate and bigotry and all of those kind of things, that's all I really see.
You're right.
Okay.
And that probably will not give you a very clear and forthcoming, you know, understanding that you're going to need to have to come together with other people based on your perception that you're viewing the door.
Yeah.
Which is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, that's what really helped to move me when we were talking, because you talked about how you went to the door and your mom went to the door and cousins and everybody, and that was the place. Everybody in their family got a grandmother. It's a place where everybody can stop, show up, good time, bad time. Don't let it be a holiday.
Yes,
oh my
grandmother's
goodness.
House.
That's the spot.
Always, yes.
Okay. So,
and you always felt a sense of comfort. You felt a sense of stability. You felt a sense of family there at that door, at my grandmother's door. And also, when I say my grandmother's door, I mean, you know, I want to feel that same sense of comfort when I think about the White House and the things that are going on there, because those things behind that door that we all see affect me, you, my family, your family. And what we want to do is just recognize that we still have to come together to what does it say in the Constitution, to have a
more perfect union. Okay.
Right. Now we're going to be taking a caller, Mr. Hall. We have a caller calling in right now.
Okay. And
his name is Mr. Carl Populous, known throughout the country as a 21st century change agent implementing positive change that really works.
Yeah, Mr. CP, I've known him for years. CP, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. I'm not being heard. Can you
yes,
hear?
Yes, I can hear you, young man. And thank you so very much for coming on the Raymond Hall Show. You're here with Raymond Hall and Erica Flynn Walker. And I've got to tell you, the listening and viewing audience, this is one of my mentors. This is a person that we go back, I know, CP, what, 20 plus years, almost 30 years?
About that.
Okay. Let me put it like this. When I met this brother, I had a head full of hair. Okay. a comb is useless to me now. Okay.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us today on the broadcast with the Raymond Hall Show.
Hey, and thank you very much for having me. It's always good when somebody can look back and see some good things that you have attempted to do or you did. I don't like to say I. always include the we thing, because it's a we thing, not a me thing or a CP thing. It's a we thing, because I never got any financial compensation for what I do. I've been doing it all my life, basically. So that, you know, they say let the work speak for itself.
Well, you have many works itself. Founder of Men's United in 1975, founder of the 21st Century Focus Group, up to the minute, and that was a forerunner. It was a cable broadcast through Time Warner. You also was a very, or may continue to be a very effective member of the Lillian Mobley Black Community Task Force. And we both served. You were one of the first associate members of the Ezell Ware Chapter 713 Veterans Association. And I remember the motto was the last patrol. I was so proud to wear that T-shirt. I didn't know what to do. So your work, you're right, your work speaks for itself. So we want to talk to you. Last time I talked to you, you were just coming back from Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you want to share with us what's going on the other side of the country?
Well, a lot of gentrification is going on for people that look like me. Washington, D.C., I enjoy the museum and stuff. But as I look around and as I talk to cab drivers and people that I was, you know, getting around with, they were saying that they couldn't afford to stay there anymore. And they had to move out to, Maryland and stuff like that. But yet and still, I see so much housing going up, condos, apartments and stuff. And it made me wonder, like, what is going on? Same thing is going on in New York. I didn't see them doing as much building in New York. But in Washington, D.C. and right here in Los Angeles, they're doing quite a few buildings, and a lot of people can't afford to stay here. So I'm wondering, what are you going to do with those displaced people?
Right, right, right. Yeah, right now, Los Angeles is in the middle of a 16% building boom. And it's the same thing. The rents and the house notes are so high, your working people can't afford to stay.
And to remind people, we still got a lot of homeless people, but included in those homeless people, which I've been dealing with for quite some time, like 1974, I think. But we still have a number of veterans that served this country and put their life on the line and left their families and stuff. And some of them sleeping out on the street and suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. But we started addressing that stuff. And I mean, not being a veteran, that's what made me associate member, because people was impressed by me taking the time out to go out here and pull some of these veterans up off the street and talk about the PTSD that wasn't even talked about among Africans here in America, but other people on the other side of town in Westwood that didn't look like me, they was bragging about their money they got for the PTSD and stuff. So I got Maxine Waters involved, and that's how that all started.
Right, right. Well, it was definitely through Chapter 713 that I had the occasion to meet her up close on several occasions. So I am thankful for that. And I do remember there was a group to which you were a part that was very active in talking about those things that had to do with those of us who served some of the challenges that we were having, and post-traumatic stress disorder was one of them. And you're right, it wasn't recognized for a long, long time. Talk to us about the Men United.
Well, Men United is something I was just laying around once and just came to me. I was thinking about Men United, but I didn't want to sound like it was just men, you know. I think it's going to take a man in the family to unite the family. Okay. So on the business card, I didn't want a fancy card. I wanted just a plain black and white card, you know, and it was a white card with black lettering. But what I did, I put a man, a woman, all in black, you know, just black figures, and a little boy and a little girl, and they was holding hands as if they was going to church or maybe going somewhere. But I wanted to demonstrate that when you put the man back in the family just kind of comes together. And that's what I wanted to demonstrate. But when I put on that card, change agent, I'm like, wow. But something told me, well, I didn't even know where that came from in my mind. It was just in my mind. And I'm like, well, Lord, what am I going to how am I going to explain that? Because I'm going to be questioned about that, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, this was in 1975. Mm-hmm. Well, 74, actually. Actually, I was incarcerated. Actually, mm-hmm. I was incarcerated mm-hmm. in solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, I said, well, I get out soon, so what can I do to make a big difference when I get out? So it came to me, change agent would be a person that made positive change that really made a difference, because a lot of people were talking about they were activists. That was a catchphrase and a sound bite for a lot of people to get in the door. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I wanted to make a real difference. Mm-hmm. So I labeled myself as a 21st century change agent and doing positive change and make a difference. And just so happened, I was questioned by a lot of people. I was questioned a lot. But after they heard it and they saw I was going to stick with it on the radio and the television and stuff, and a lot of people start adopting it. I just saw Black Girls Rock the other night. The girl said she was a community change agent. She got an award. I don't know if you saw that. And we had a brother, John Jackson, who used to stay next door to me. He was asking me that somebody's in Obama, President Obama's campaign office was asking him, what was a change agent? What was the definition and what it meant? Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And when mm-hmm. I saw President Obama running, he came to trade check after I was there. And I was telling him that, look, when you run on the change agent spirit, nobody never ran on that before. And that's mm-hmm. the person that demonstrates positive change. So before I know it, change agent was all over the world. People were talking about it all over, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all change agent. We just got to stop being media hogs and just hogging up the mic for no reason. We have to have a plan. We got to put in our mind that we need to help people. It ain't no, like I say, it's a we thing, not a me thing. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So now, what things are you involved in today? What are you doing now?
Well, I'm still on the Black Community Health Task Force.
Okay.
I'm a trained mediator, a program Mark Willie Thomas' wife had funding for through the city attorney's office.
Right, obviously.
And I have people calling me, mediating a lot of situations. You
okay.
know? And I'm on KGLH for the last 30 years of calling in, but, you know, and the Carl Nielsen show as well, mm-hmm. Kathy Hughes station. Carl Nielsen, you remember him, he was
right.
front page.
Right.
And just doing whatever it takes, you know, feeding homeless people first chance I get, you know, consoling them, mm-hmm. talking to them, trying to get them some resources, doing the thing that really count. And if we all join in and treat it like a potluck and bring a little bit here and a little bit there, we'll have a better society. We got to change the mentality of this mentally ill mindset, even with the politicians. I'm not going to say politicians because I call them politicians. A lot of people try to be tricksters, like they call us out to do these things, to vote, get your friends, get your family to vote. But in return, I don't see a whole lot that we're giving, especially people that look like me. I have to say that. And I'm not talking about minority or what they call them, minority or other. I'm mm-hmm. talking about Africans right here in America that look like me. Mm-hmm. You should not be afraid to say that. Okay.
Okay. Well, Carl, we're going to take a break. But before we do, why don't you give us some contact information? If people wanted to contact you, how would they get in touch with you?
Through you.
Okay. All right. Okay. So here's
the situation, you know.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you very much. Uh-huh.
Welcome back. Excuse me. Mr. Populous, could I ask you a question about the Lillian Mobley Task Force? Can you tell us about that, your work with her?
Well, the Lillian Mobley Task Force is a volunteer group, basically, that look at MOUs. We hold a lot of public officials responsible. When we call them to the table, they really don't have to come, but they came out of respect. And I got involved with that through Dr. Smith, Ph.D., I was told when I got to California that I need to meet him. And I also had in my mind that I wanted to be around some of the best minds in the city that was actually doing the work. And at that table sit some of the best minds in the city. Some of them have gone on to be among the ancestors. But they did a lot of good work. And like I said, we deal with everything. I'm trying, you name it. We deal with everything.
I was going to ask you, what was MOU? You mentioned MOU.
Memorandum of Understanding.
Oh, Memorandum of Understanding. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of people get this government money or get the donations from foundation, and they, the business plan or the MOU that they wrote, they don't stick to it. A lot of people just want the money, like right now with the homeless money. A lot of people is reaching at the money that never did the work. And that's why this homeless population and a lot of other mental illness and a lot of these young people out here, you know, they just lost. And then we wonder, we don't never stop to think about why little Johnny can't read. You wonder why little Johnny ain't got no job. Little Johnny can't read, but do you ever ask him? You have to make him feel comfortable enough to share that with you.
Okay. You have to sit down and talk with little Johnny and bring him around the table so that we can find out what his needs are.
Exactly.
Little Johnny, see, when I showed up around here, they were saying, well, we got to do some public outreach. I said, no. We got to do some public engagement, because guess what? Little Johnny's mother and his father, if he had one, his uncle or whatever, said, boy, go to school and shut your mouth, because I don't want them to cut my check, or I don't want them to take my children, because it's got a domino effect. We're going to lose everything. We're going to lose everything. But what a lot of people didn't know, little Johnny's mama and grandmama been caught up in a lot of this stuff, what they call gang banging, a miseducation. A lot of teachers just pass them on. They just pass them on to somebody else. So if you befriend little Johnny enough, and you could really befriend him, little Johnny introduced you to his parents.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that was most memorable to me. Because of you, and I forget this brother's name, he has passed on now, but Dr. Ernie Smith and I served in the county's Area Agency on Aging Advisory Council, and because of Ernie Smith and you and other people, you all invited me to the Lillian Mobley Black Task Force, and I was just really impressed, because everyone there was accomplished in their own professional way. So it was a number of people there, and you all really got something done as an organization. I remember when the Children and Family Services was accused of acting in a rather strong-handed way when it came to fathers being a part of the family when that father had been convicted. They would just straight up come and take the child out of the home and use that conviction as a reason to do so. And it was the Black Task Force, Lillian Mobley's Black Task Force at that center named that bears her name, that they were held to account.
We identified it as Cash for Kids, slavery by another name, because it was so easy to take them children. And when we got lawyers to find out that these people, I went through that. You know, I went through that. I was wrongly convicted once, but I knew it had to be something in that for me, because maybe I would have been shot down in the street, whatever. But all the time, I got my mind together for what I was going to do when I got back out here, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I got back out here, all this stuff was waiting on me, and I'm so glad. You know, God have a plan for all of us, and that's one thing I like about Brother Hall. Mm-hmm. We also noticed that he was a spiritual brother. He is a spiritual brother. And not only that, we had, I don't know if you remember, but I talked to you once when you was telling me about your transplant and all that. I told you, I pulled a knife into my heart once, and I had to get a thoracotomy. About 8 out of 10 people that have a thoracotomy die. And I heard them talking about me when I was on the table, because the stuff they gave me, the anesthesia, it wasn't working right. I couldn't feel no pain, but I felt tearing my chest open. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be afraid, because I know that I got some more work to do. And if you feel like I don't have any more work to do, and whatever you do is okay, but I feel like I got some more work to do. So when I met you and you started telling me about your experience, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Sometimes we have to get that close to the other side in order to step our game up a little bit more, to say, look, there's a lot of work need to be done. I can't do it all, but I'm going to do as much of it as I can.
Yeah. Well, I do know this. I do know, if people would go to the book of Mark, this is vitally important. If you go to the book of Mark and you read that section where it's talking about the seed, the sower and the seed, there's going to be three things that's common. The seed is all through that. the sower is all through that, and the ground is all through that. So the seed was the same. It was just where the seed landed. If the seed lands on a ground that doesn't allow it to grow, to produce fruit, it's not going to do anything. Or if it somebody throw it where something's going to come and snatch it up, it's not going to have an opportunity to do anything. So if you have an opportunity to serve, that means that you fail in that spirit realm. That means that you fail on service ground. You failed on good ground. And it doesn't say that when it talks about the good ground, it doesn't say, well, it grew 1% or 2%. It starts at 30%. It says that some fell on good soil and some produced 30%, some produced 60%, and some produced 100%. So if and this is just my take. This is why Raymond Hall, the Raymond Hall Show, A Different Conversation, our service speak. So when I met Mrs. Erica Flynn Walker, I used to say earlier when we met, she ran like, and I told her, she wasn't getting away because she has a service spirit. She's had many trials. If you were ever fortunate enough to hear her story, you heard today about the door of her grandmother. She has that service spirit that will produce. And anyone who understands service sees it and knows it. When I met CP, I had to sit down and listen. I didn't know where I was going to go, but I knew that CP and Ernie Smith, and it used to be another Dr. Smith that was there. It was all kind of people just giving service.
Service.
Okay. And these were people, I'm not going to put them out there, but these were accomplished people. These weren't people that was looking for a career or looking for something to do. No, they were just people who said, I will be of service.
And I will make a difference.
And I will make a difference.
I will make a difference. I feel like this. My grandmother used to always say, boy, don't plant good seeds in bad soil. Because people in the country, they told you some stuff. A lot of times I was ashamed to say, what do you mean? Like when they say, just keep on living, son. I want to ask, like, explain more to me, but I didn't, because most of those people say they had a third grade education, like my grandmother. Mm-hmm. I found out that a lot of them didn't attend school at all. They were working on the farm. They was taking care of the big house. They were taking care of the little house. Mm-hmm. They was chopping wood and being all of that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I tell people now, I feel like I have came. The sister you were just talking about right there with you, we have an assignment.
Yes,
we've been assigned.
Do.
Whether you like it or not. Now, you can ignore that assignment if you want to. Mm-hmm, you understand what I'm saying? But we do have an assignment.
That's
what
right.
we can do with it. They
right.
used to have a call and say, now you got love. What you going to do with it?
Right,
we
right,
have
right.
an assignment. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to do the best I can. Like they used to have an old church spiritual when I was growing up, say, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain, but I'm doing my best to make it in. So that's all I can do.
If
I lay down and leave here today or tomorrow, the world don't owe me anything, and I don't owe them that, because like I said, nobody in this town could ever tell you that I got one red cent for what I do. I did that on purpose to demonstrate. I went to school for nonprofit. I know the nonprofit game from A to Z. I sit down with Lydia Mowbray Task Force with the best minds, and if you run a make on it, you'll know. But people say, well, you can easily do this. And I don't want to easily do anything.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
I want to stick to my assignment. I tell people now, when I look at Facebook and some of these young people and some of these older people with all that toxic energy, or somebody called me on my phone with that toxic energy, I say, look, the mailman is at the door. I got a special delivery. My water is boiling over. You know what I mean?
Right.
My auntie done walked from Alabama that I've been looking for 6 months. And she's gonna,
right. Right.
Sooner or later, they will say, okay, you know, if I call him, I talk to him, I need to talk to him about something constructive
positive.
Or something.
Yeah.
We do not have time to waste. Why don't we
do
keep... You don't know when God's going to call you.
CP, that's true. And we're going to have to leave it there because we are running out of time for this show. What I want to do, though, I want to thank you, my brother, from the bottom of not just my personal heart, but to everyone that you have helped and lifted
everyone
up.
Everyone that you've touched, everyone that you've talked to, everyone that you've given your undivided attention to. We know that all of those times that you spent with those people, those seeds were planted and you have made a difference. And just the fact that you continue with the passion and a fervor for moving forward and saying we do need to come together, and we do have to do that. Absolutely. Well, we can't just keep talking about it. We're going to come together to make a difference.
Okay.
Well, let me say this before you guys go. It's an honor to be on this show, to be called on this show. This brother called me. I've never met this sister, but I am looking forward, if it's God's will, to meet her one day, because this is what we need.
Okay.
Like you said, a different conversation that should have been held a long time ago, and some of it was held a long time ago, but they was, we was talking, and my grandmother and your grandmother, mm-hmm. but a lot of people wasn't listening. So we got to keep this thing going. Let's pump this up like we did Front Page and a couple of more other shows. Let's this different conversation, let's make it a different conversation.
Okay.
I appreciate you guys. Much love. Love you from the bottom of my heart to the top, the bottom, and the side. And much love to all you guys, and keep on being the change agents that you are.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, CP. And we definitely will have you again if you will honor us to do so. So thank you so very much.
Keep up the good work.
Okay. And we will take a quick second. No, the engineer is telling me we got to wrap it up. We don't have that much time. So what we're going to do is
did you have something you wanted to
do? No, go ahead and just mention a few things.
Okay, what we're going to do, right, we're going to just go over a few of our community moments right now, and we're going to speak about, through the County of Los Angeles Department of Public Social Services, we'll be having a Start Breaking Barriers Now with the Proposition 47. This is our community moment that we're going to have for you today, and we'd like for you to grab a pen and paper and write down this information. Please contact Carla Glover Schilling at 323-730-6468 regarding Proposition 47, which is expungement clinic. The clinic will be on September the 15th, so we need you to put this on your calendar, because it's very instrumental and things that are needed in our community. Also, we will be having a follow-up on our show last week. We had Building Bridges to Optimum Health with Prevention, Treatment, and Control of Cancer in our community. We're having a follow-up with the Breast Cancer Foundation monthly support group that's live now every Thursday, September the 7th, and following every Thursday after that. That will be at Martin Luther King Jr. Outpatient Center, 1670 East 120th Street, Los Angeles, California. And you can contact them at 888-833-6473. And those are a few of the community moments. Also, we will have this posted on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, we are streaming on a podcast at theraymondhallshow.com. Did you have something else for us?
Yes. Thank you so very much. We want to close the way we opened up. Mm-hmm. We want to close with we the people and the conversation. Service matters.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Service. What is service? Why is it important to me? And why must service come from me? Service most often is the essential element used to produce what you don't currently see, but through service will see. So we got to put that work in for it to materialize. Service is important to each and every individual. Every element of society has been through the service of others with one thing in mind, a better life through service for others to come. Okay. We the people built the house. That's what Mrs. Walker was telling and sharing with us. We the people built the house. So don't be derelict. You'll ask, well, how did I build the house? Did you pay attention in school? Then that service of you doing what you were supposed to do as a child helped to build your way to a better life to help someone else.
Right, absolutely. And just like Mr. Populous was said, we all have a grandmother. And you know, grandmother's house is a very house that's coveted. And we all have our stories before grandmother's house, which had that door that we all saw in our own mind's way. We had our own perspective. So that's okay. Where we're going back to the White House, the door, and the Constitution, and we the people of the United States of America.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't thank Mrs. Erica Flynn Walker. She was having a little challenge here earlier in the show.
Pardon me.
And that's a concern to all of us because I do depend on the things that she does so much. We want to thank Morris Media Studios for all of the things that they do in putting this broadcast on the air so you can enjoy it. I understand that there's a new element has been involved, that we're streaming live over.
Yes, we are. We're live right now.
Over
YouTube Live.
YouTube Live. Okay. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. So there's many ways for you to see the show. So we want to thank Mr. CP for coming on. We want to thank all of the viewers and listeners. We want to thank those who has paid the price for us to be here. And we want to thank everyone who is currently serving. This is the Raymond Hall Show. We thank you, each and every one of you, and we want to say we look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks a lot, all of you listening to the sound of our voices. The Raymond Hall Show service, we're different, where we have a different conversation. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, we're streaming live on YouTube, and also we have a broadcast at theraymondhallshow.com. Thanks a lot and have a great day. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.